You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans, and welcome back to your preview edition of Bison Report Radio, brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet, and very well possibly the shortest turnaround in Bison Report Radio history, as we hit you with an episode yesterday afternoon. And you would think that with this quick turnaround, there has been an announcement of the new head coach for the Bison, but there has not. Still, I am headed to Green Bay, Wisconsin on a previously planned trip with the Bison Report photographer, Jacob Stack, to go see my best pal who moved back to Green Bay. And conveniently, we have big plans on Sunday for the Packers versus Cody Mauch's Buccaneers. We have big plans on Friday night going to see Bison Report men's basketball. And this is going to make our guest host, Trevor Gebhardt, very jealous. Going to see Bison Report men's basketball analyst Nate Zastrow at the Resch Center in Green Bay for Friday Night SmackDown. Trev, how are you?
That got me juiced up. I'm already juiced up. I'm pretty over-caffeinated at the moment, so hold me back if I start yelling into the microphone, but that sounds fantastic. Love you, Zazzy. Oh,
buddy, the weekend that's in front of us, Friday Night SmackDown, waking up in Green Bay, finding a bar or a brewery for NDSU Montana, and then Packers Bucks on Sunday in the Lord's Stadium. It's going to be a weekend. Now, a couple things go the wrong way. You could have a very sad boy at about 4 p.m. on Sunday. With
just get your beer and start crying in it if it goes south.
At least
you're in Green Bay, if that were to be the case, you know?
The crew could be in true shambles at about 4 on Sunday. It's going to be great. We're going to have you guys all covered. I'll be able to cover the game, obviously watching it on TV. Blake Ingebrigtsen, our wonderful intern, got you covered as well. The chat will be lively, I am sure. I don't know if any of the boys are making the trip to Missoula. Flights don't really work unless you know somebody with one of those sweet, sweet jets. We need about, 10,000 more Bison Report VIP subscribers above the 250 that we have now to fund the jet.
Yeah, you might need to add one more zero, and then we'll be good.
Yeah, right. We need those inside Carolina numbers. We need the same numbers as the Alabama site at this point to get the jet fuel rolling. By the way, 50% off Bison VIP till the end of the year, just so everybody's clear. That's the best way to support us. Boy, we're off on a tangent. Not a ton of news. We want to make people aware, though. It's Easton Stick Day, baby. Trev, I know you know E just from, but you missed him, right?
He was a redshirt my senior year.
Oh, he was. Okay. So,
yep, because then his first year when he came in
was 15.
Started his run to be the winningest FCS quarterback in history.
Yep.
When Carson went down, that was his redshirt freshman year in 15.
Right, so, right. Because Carson broke his hand. You were gone, but Carson broke his hand. E came in, got them to Frisco. Carson won the game in Frisco. And then they didn't win the title his sophomore year, and then junior and senior year.
They won.
Dominant performances. Got it. Yep. So you know kind of what the young man's all about, at least to a degree.
I'll give you a quick story, actually.
Go ahead. No, I'd love
to put
that.
A bow on it. So because it's Easton Stick Day, and I do want to acknowledge that. So good luck to the young man. But we were in winter camp my senior year, and we were in the old bubble back then.
Shout out to the bubble.
And and it wasn't even warm. So you, like, you still had to bundle up. It just blocked the wind out, which I was all for it.
Yeah.
And I was standing next to Coach Kleiman, and we're watching the rookies do their thing, and they're getting extra reps because us old guys practiced for like 15 minutes that day. And he threw an absolute dot on a dig route to another rookie wide receiver. And I don't believe it was Shep, but it very well could have been. And all I did was look at Chris, and my eyes got wide. And he just turned and looked at me, and he goes, "He's just like 11, but he's faster." So this is this isn't to knock on Carson, but at that moment I knew it, because I didn't get to see a lot of him his rookie year because he was doing scout team stuff. So that was like the first time I got to see him was in December, about this time, my senior year.
Yeah,
that one throw, I knew immediately the program was in good hands.
And it's something that we'll talk about in a second here, but I mean, that was a big deal, folks. When Craig left for Wyoming, keeping Easton Stick in that recruiting class was a huge deal.
And something Zandowski.
Yeah. And right.
The great prep boys.
And that, I mean, that was a kind of an all hands on deck situation. And we'll talk about kind of a similar situation in just a second here, but it's always been sort of a part of it, right? Keeping your class together just because of when the carousel spins, where NDSU is on the carousel, it's important to make these decisions quickly because you have to have somebody with the authority to, you know, actually make the decision, if that makes sense. You have to have somebody right. with the authority to tell a kid that everything's going to be okay, or tell a kid, you know, what the you know, what the future of the program looks like, what the vision is. And, you know, right now they don't have that. Right now nobody knows who the next guy is, which it's Thursday after finding out the head coach was gone on Sunday. But right now they're in a situation where they're 6 days away from signing day and kids are dropping. So we'll get into the coaching search. We don't know anything. I made my take abundantly clear yesterday. Trev, I'm just going to let you go here.
Yeah.
You know where I stand. Why don't you go ahead?
So yeah, a lot to unpack, and slow me down and have me move on if I go on a 10-minute tangent here. So to me with where everything stands, and I'll preface it with this, actually. I have a personal relationship with Tyler. I played for him. He was on staff during my time at NDSU. Obviously, through the Bison Brotherhood and the BFPA stuff, and just getting to know him throughout the years, him and I are friends. And it's just kind of the nature of running in these circles and being around the program and being involved in it like I am now. Even with that being said, when I take off that hat and look at this objectively, there is no other person, in my opinion, that should be in that spot than Tyler Rule. And it is for a myriad of reasons. A lot of it has to do with, in a time in college football where there's a lot of instability, if you can have stability, you need to create it. And nothing is going to provide that better. No one's going to provide that better than Tyler Rule, in my opinion. And this is a different era where you don't have to have been from a certain area and bounced around in the coaching profession to be able to find kids. They all post their stuff on Twitter and in Huddle. And those coaches in those high schools want to build up their programs. They're trying to get the kids to go to the best programs possible. The world is so connected. It's so connected. And with that being like the big quote unquote knock on Tyler of not being outside of the Fargo-Moorhead area for his coaching career, that's last on the list in terms of priorities, in terms of what you're looking for a coach and how I would personally look at it as an AD, because the world's so connected now. Anybody can find anybody at any given time. And so The players speaking out on it, it was awesome. I thought that was great because kids know they have a voice and they can use it to the extent that they need to. You can view it however you like. Some might view it as a little bit of a temper tantrum. That's totally fine. You're entitled to think and feel that way. But the kids also feel that that's their general. He's the man that they want to lead them out of the tunnel. And that should factor into the equation. Is it 90% of the reason you hire a guy because the players said it on social media? No, it's probably 10, maybe 15% in this scenario because of how loud it was. But when that many people feel that way about a man, to me, it becomes clear. Now, the fact that a head coach hasn't been named, and I was trying to think about this last night ahead of us potting today. I'm probably less concerned about an announcement not being made yet than I was maybe earlier in the week.
I'm going to cut you off.
Go ahead.
1 second, Trevor, because I did some actual research.
Okay.
Matt Entz, and this is a Bismarck Tribune, which means it probably came from the form or whatever. We knew on for sure December 13th, 2018, that Matt Entz was going to be the next coach. The FCS semifinal game against South Dakota State was on the 14th. It was a Friday night. So that means that Thursday before Friday Night Lights against the Jacks, which is NDSU rolled in that game, we knew. You go back in time, and you were a part of that. So back in 2013, you knew Klieman was going to be the guy, I think, before
Coastal.
You knew before even Coastal, which is a quarterfinal.
Yeah, because we played Furman. That was the second round game because we came off the bye. They beat South Carolina State.
Okay.
We beat Furman. We found out that night. And then I believe we knew before we played Coastal.
Okay. And I think, that's correct. Because
I think we're on the same page here.
I think that is correct. I'm trying to find the time, you know, the way back machine and figure out when it was known that Chris would succeed Bowl. But I think the answer is prior to, I've got, just so you know, Trev, I've got December 15th now, 2013, a Care 11, deal that says NDSU names Klieman as its next head football coach. School officials announced Sunday that Klieman will be taking over for Bowl.
So that'd have been after Coastal. That'd have been prior to the semis.
Sure. So you went one game against Coastal knowing that, and the players, you guys might have known. The school made it public. So you played Coastal, and you can tell us this, but you played Coastal on Saturday. Mm-hmm. The 14th, and the school announced Chris Sunday the 15th prior to the semifinal. You guys may very well have known.
It's possible. I don't recall. I truly
fair
don't.
Enough.
Yeah, and that's been long enough to where I would publicly say it if I knew. But I think we probably did, just for the simple fact of you kind of knew the staff that was going to be going to Wyoming. That kind of came out in the consecutive days. Like, we didn't know everyone that was going to Wyoming right away, but it was pretty clear pretty quickly. And when Brent Vegan was going to go to Wyoming, it was pretty evident that Chris Klieman, if he wanted the job, was going to be the next guy.
Sure.
Yeah. So, but all that to say, the reason I'm less concerned about an announcement not being made yet, I'm hoping there's one today. I'm hoping there's one definitely by tomorrow before they get on the plane. I think that's going to be necessary just for peace of mind. And you can go into this semifinal game with as clear of a head as you possibly can, especially if Tyler's going to be named the header. I think, pun intended, the boys will roll if that's announced prior to they get on that plane.
I think it's worth about 10 points.
Truthfully, it is, because they will be so juiced. I don't think he'll sleep for 48 hours knowing him. But the reason I'm less concerned about it, and I'm truly not trying to talk people off a ledge here, because I can understand why it's kind of on pins and needles, just given the timing of everything and signing day. It definitely needs to be done before signing day, no doubt. That's a non-starter. But anyway, is because Montana played their game on Friday night.
Yep.
when that first quarter was over, the Montana staff started watching film on NDSU. They had a jump start of 24 hours on the North Dakota State staff. So when you turn around, you get home, you got Sunday off for the players, at least. The staff's going to have to get caught up to speed because they're behind the eight ball in terms of preparation for this game already. And you have the day of travel. So you basically, you effectively have a day and a half less of prep on top of a coaching change happening. There's a lot of work that needs to be done before the Hays in the Barn. So I think there's a lot of prep that was required to be done before interviews took place. I don't know who's all interviewed, who hasn't interviewed. So we'll kind of see as things start to come
out
there.
I'll put it this way. Okay. Per hashtag sources.
Okay.
Our understanding at Bison Report is that Tyler Rohl's quote unquote formal interview happened on Wednesday. This is currently being recorded on Thursday. Our understanding, and this is kind of only one source, so I'm not going to.
But that makes sense, though. Like, it actually kind of goes to the point I'm making.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So, because, okay, you have, think of timelines here, and it's finals week. So, you know, so that adds an element for the coaches, too, to make sure that they've got the schedules appropriate for the kids' finals, because those professors aren't going to change things. They're like, they don't.
Right. It is a school, after all.
Yeah. So, Montana's got a day up on preparation. Okay. So, you got to play catch up there. The kids have finals weeks. You got to prep for an interview. You need time to prep for that on top of the game prep. So a Wednesday timeline for an interview for an internal candidate definitely makes sense. The external candidates can come in Monday, Tuesday.
Sure.
You know, and this is going to be it's a hot job. North Dakota State moves the needle and everything for FCS football, even nationally from what we've seen lately with like with the whole basketball thing.
Well, yeah. But, and honestly too, I mean, everyone I think taking this job or considering this job understands that whatever is going to happen in college football, NDSU is going to strive to be at the level below Power Four. And whether that everything stays what it is now and they just move up to FBS and become part of what used to be the G5, that's one thing. If the NCAA president gets his wish and there's a certain amount of schools that are allowed to pay their players $30,000 a year, you know, out of a trust and yada yada, and you get actual pay for play type stuff.
Yeah.
And NDSU, I would guess, is going to be out of that area. But I don't know that anybody taking this job really believes that they're just going to be a Valley FCS school for the next 5 years. I don't know that anybody believes that.
There's going to be the landscape of college football is going to change. The Power Four is going to break off, do their own playoff. The money's too big. You're seeing it in other sports already. Yeah. It's going to happen, and NDSU just needs to be primed, which they are, especially infrastructurally with the whole practice facility and that.
Yep.
To be kind of a second tier, like you're saying. Yeah, NIL, like it's the pendulum swinging toward that. And so whoever that is, you know, in that seat needs to come with that understanding and plan, because that's what's going to happen.
And I'll get to the rest of it here. So I've been waffling back and forth. I thought we would have a role announcement yesterday. Now with no role announcement, I'm wondering if it's not him. As I've mentioned, they're losing recruits, and that can happen kind of either way. That can happen that the recruiting class gets picked over a little bit. Here's a problem. You're not able to have the authority to kind of try and stop that from happening. 'Cause who knows if you're going to be the coach. Who knows if any of these assistants? Well, I'll take Maxwell Woods for an example. Maxwell Woods has family ties to the Bison. There's a story written about him. He's Mr. Football in Minnesota. I believe Kyle Steffes is his connection to the team. And, you know, I wanted to be a Bison since I was 3 years old. All of a sudden on Twitter, you can't find his commitment tweet. It's gone. And you know, there's some interesting accounts following him, this, that, and the other thing. And I just said to you before the meeting, like Grant Olson is his recruiter. Grant Olson is the Minneapolis St. Paul recruiter for the Bison, because that's where he's from. And Ant's kind of, you know, was able to help him with that area. And that was Matt's recruiting area when he was an assistant and all those things. Who's to say Grant Olson is even on the next staff? I think he will be. I think he should be. But if they make an external hire, what authority does Grant Olson have to speak on behalf of the program moving forward?
Right. Like, how does he call the kid or go sit in his living room and say, by the way, everything that we've told you about where you stand in terms of like being able to compete for a job right away or things of that nature.
Right. Yeah.
He can't confidently go and tell that kid. And if he does, the kid's going to smell BS.
Sure.
You know? So yeah, you're exactly right. It does make it tough when you don't have the guy saying, yep, that kid still has his scholarship or vice versa. And we're not saying that that kid, that young man in reference is getting a scholarship revoked. No, that's not what we're saying, but
can we hand up just say something too? And or maybe you don't agree with this. Yeah. I'm going to say it.
Okay.
Tim Polasek will be a fine head coach at North Dakota State if that's the decision. Unless some kids have been kind of blowing smoke, it's going to have an adverse effect on the current roster.
Correct.
I think it'll ultimately be fine. It's not who you and I would pick. That doesn't mean it's not a good decision.
It doesn't mean
that it's either role or everything's going to be terrible. But
we need like a 2-hour pod to really divulge this, because it's the same thing with like, and for what we understand, this is like, I don't have like a put a stamp on it to know this. Like, Brent Vegan would be a phenomenal choice for the job. He'd be a no brainer. He would be like, it'd be the easiest shoe in, and I love the man to death and would be thrilled. I don't know if he's interested in the job.
And again, so it would be problematic for the current roster because it's not.
It would be.
Yeah.
Because they just don't know him. And I think they would be able to talk the kids off the ledge and kind of go through it and understand, okay, you know, pound the table, one of us. Like, Viggs is
– sure.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's a Bison. It's in his blood. I know he's coaching at Montana State, but, like, that's home, you know?
Yeah.
So that – and then same thing with Coach P. I love Coach P. I played for Coach P. Now, I think he would need to find guys on his staff that can kind of – balance out the personality trait.
I got running through the locker part of it.
I've got tons of Coach P stories. That's another pod for another day. But I am glad that you brought that up, because just because he would be hired doesn't mean things are going to go south. He'd be a phenomenal head coach at North Dakota State, no doubt. It's just that the best man for the job right now, for where the program needs to be in 3 to 5 years and hopefully beyond, in my opinion, and in a lot of people's opinions, that man is Tyler Roll. That's just the point we're saying there.
Yeah, we need to kind of get this moving. You and I have a bit of a, you know, a schedule to keep. They need a head coach. And again,
by tomorrow,
I'm not going to sit here and pound the table and say it has to be Tyler Roll or everything is terrible. I have made my opinion publicly known. You have made your opinion publicly known. People know where we stand, period. We are not necessarily meddling, but we're allowed to have an opinion, and now ours is known. So that part of it's done. They need a head coach. They need people to know who the head coach is, and that head coach needs to either tell the assistant coaches that they're going to be a part of the staff moving forward or tell them that they're not, because there need to be people with the authority to speak on behalf of North Dakota State, whether it's in the portal, whether it's with current recruits, whether it's backfilling. Let's say you do lose four full ride scholarships that you had given out. It'd be nice to at least offer those scholarships out for Darius Shepherd's a great example. He was on USD's list. We lost a kid, Isaiah Lejeune. They went to Shep and said, would you rather be a Bison than a Yote? We have a spot. I understand if you have hard feelings, because we took a different receiver over here, you, but now this is your opportunity. Do you go look at the Northern Iowa list? Do you go look at the USD list, the South Dakota State list, places where you didn't have an offer out, but an offer might change somebody's mind? You can't do that without a head coach.
Right.
I have a bad feeling about this if they go into Saturday's game not knowing who the next guy is for signing day reasons and for this team reasons. I think they need to know. And if the answer is not Tyler, whatever, I think they need to know. All right, this week's episode of Bison Report Radio is brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet. Folks, four-wheel drive season is coming. All-wheel drive season is coming. You saw kind of a nasty bit of weather this last weekend, and folks, they have just a tremendous inventory of both new and pre-owned vehicles. Four-wheel drive, all-wheel drive. I'm talking Escalades. I'm talking Tahoes. I'm talking Suburbans. And of course, a bazillion. That's a technical term. Pickups, four-wheel drive trucks, Silverados, Colorados, even over at the Hyundai Nissan side, which we don't talk that much about. You got your Nissan Titans, you got your Nissan Frontiers. They have a bevy of excellent vehicles that will keep you or your young ones that are just getting starting to drive safe on the roads this winter. Check them out at gatewayfargo.com or just stop right on by on the I-29 frontage road in Fargo. All right, Trev, I'm sure this is nothing that you ever really experienced because I don't think that you played on Thanksgiving weekend in your entire career, but this is NDSU's 12th consecutive game. The bye week came at an odd time. I mentioned yesterday on the show how valuable I thought it was, frankly, that NDSU was able to get the guys out and to kill South Dakota the way that they did. Montana was not. Now, granted, Montana didn't play Thanksgiving weekend, so those miles are not on their legs. But to get the guy, and especially Montana has an 8-day week, and NDSU has a 7. I mean, all of those things are working in Montana's favor, and we're not making pre-excuses. We're stating facts. Mm-hmm. Montana has had a break more recently than NDSU, and I'm guessing they probably had a bye week more recently than NDSU's bye week as well. With that said, the Bison were able to get starters out of that USD game, and I think that has value.
It certainly does. I mean, I think on top of a bus trip, that matters too. There's something about just getting on a bus versus a plane and doing that back-to-back-to-back weeks. I mean, my wife feels that now when she goes and covers the Panthers and they got 3 away games in a row. It just adds up. If you can have a car ride or a bus trip in the midst of that, it does help curb the things a little bit, and it doesn't hurt when you basically have the game over by halftime. They've played 3 playoff games to date. 2 of them have been blowouts. 1 was a slobber knocker in Bozeman. I think pre-playoffs, that became a concern. It's like, okay, if a run does ensue, do the legs start to get tired? It's a natural thought, but I think the way that the games have played out have definitely played in NDSU's favor in terms of like having – fresh, full legs for 4 quarters going into this game in the semis. Now, we'll see how it plays out. If it becomes a slobber knocker and you see them start to get worn down, okay, that's going to be a natural talking point into the microphones, you know, as kind of a post-game recap if they were to end up falling to Montana. I don't foresee that being as big of a factor right now. I could very well be wrong, but right now I don't see that being a huge factor in the game because – The easy reference point that a lot of folks have is the South Dakota State 2021 run when Montana State beat them in the semis. They were in California twice. Their first round game, they were on the road. They weren't at home. Then they had to go to Sac State. So they were out in California. That's a long flight from Brookings, 2 weeks in a row. And then in the quarterfinals, had to go out to Villanova. That is going to mess with your body clock. 3 weeks in a row. And then you got to go fly out to Bozeman, which isn't as far west as Missoula. That's 4 weeks in a row you're on a flight, and not a short flight. And then the fourth quarter, they ended up getting worn down. You could see that. So it's easy to parallel that. But as long as these guys, especially with the, you know, quote-unquote rest that they've had inside of these games, like in Vermilion this past weekend, if they're taking care of their bodies outside of the field, I personally do not think you're going to see that come in as a factor in this particular game.
Yeah.
If they're on yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. You hope not. Third consecutive road game against a seeded ranked opponent. Thought that needed to be, mentioned, obviously. I will say, you know, Montana's 12-1. And that's hard to do. Okay, this is a darn good football team. You start breaking them down. The QB is a run first guy. I think he's just kind of okay throwing the ball. I thought he looked terrible throwing it against Furman, Clifton McDowell.
Yeah,
but who knows what role the weather played in that? He's grading out okay. Actually better than okay as a passer season long. You look at kind of his box score stats, 59.3% completion. But you're talking about an average depth of target that's almost at 10 So, you know, he's throwing the ball pretty aggressively down the field. So that sub 60 completion percentage is nothing to, you know, be super, super concerned with. 12 touchdowns, 3 picks. You know, he's not constantly turning the ball over. You know, he's a good athlete, good player. I don't know, man. He's just an interesting study. We kind of watched that Furman game, and then you try not to take too much out of it, right?
Right.
I think, and two, when we talk about weather being a factor, it's not going to be. 38 degrees, no precipitation, no wind. You know, if I was playing in a football game, maybe I'd like it to be 45 instead of 38, but you're in pads, you're not thinking stuff like that. Like it's weather is just not going to be a factor. I think this is honestly not necessarily a carbon copy, but I think it's going to look a lot like Montana State. If you can shut down McDowell from running the ball, if you can shut down Eli Gilman from running the ball, and it is a plus one run game because McDowell is absolutely a threat. There is zero question about that. Not only just a threat scrambling, but McDowell has 112 rushing attempts. That tells me those aren't all scrambles. In fact, using PFF, I can tell you how many of those are, how many of those are scrambles. It's 20 scrambles. So of his, what did I just say? 112 rushes, only 20, even 18, 17, 18% of those are scrambles, meaning 76, 77% of his runs are designed. Okay. And this is a kid with 26, 10 yard plus runs. He's got 13, 15 yard plus runs. He can move the ball. Clifton McDowell's averaging 3.76 yards per carry after contact. So it's not even like, wow, the young man come, you know, gets down after he gets hit like a lot of quarterbacks. This is the Montana State defensive game plan, which, by the way, I hope is better.
Yeah. You don't want to see 500 yards of offense given. Now, if they come out with the win, then it's okay. I'll take a win in 500 yards. But for peace of mind, no, he's certainly very capable. There's no doubt in my mind. Now the Furman game, the only game that I've seen of the young man, certainly didn't impress. But from everything that you gather about the young man and where this team has trended since he became the starting quarterback fully against Idaho State about, I don't know, week 5 or 6, something like that for them. He has certainly gotten them to this point where they are the number 2 ranked team in the country and 12-1. So he's doing something right. He makes this offense go, and making him one dimensional is going to be pivotal. And if that means, making him get antsy and throw similarly to the way he did against Furman, maybe that's the answer. But you've got to account for him, and you have to shore up tackling when he does get loose, because he isn't an athletic kid. That's the one thing that stood out to me in that game against Furman, is he's very athletic. So if you get rolling, like in the pre-pod of Montana State, we sat there and talked about how Tommy Mellott was not going to shred you to pieces with his arm. That proved to be wrong, especially in that game. He was throwing dots. So you got to get him off schedule early. And if you can do that, you're going to put yourself in a better position, especially in a game that's more than likely going to be a dogfight for 4 quarters.
Agreed. I think it's a huge day too for Steindorf and Ozick. Junior Bergen, I tell you, if Junior Bergen does not play Furman, where this game is.
Just don't kick it to 5. Don't do it. He is that's an electric factory. Kid's a stud. Does Montana win without those 2 returns? I don't know.
No.
I do not believe so. Because you don't know what's going to happen. Do they chew clock and end up getting a touchdown anyway? There's, you know, ebbs and flows can change quickly, but the momentum and what that does for a team with a return touchdown, your percentage to win goes up tremendously. And he did it twice. So I don't think you kick it to him. I do not think you kick it to him. Put it out the back of the end zone, and rely on your defense to get hats on the quarterback. You do not want to lose this game from special teams, because this playoffs in particular, special teams has won teams a lot of games. North Dakota State's had punt returns. South Dakota State had a blocked punt for a touchdown. Montana beat Furman because of their return game. North Dakota State beat Montana State because of a blocked extra point. Special teams has won and lost games for pretty much everyone that's remaining in the playoffs. So don't allow yourself to get beat because of kicking it to one of the best return men in FCS football in Junior Bergen. Just don't kick it to him.
Yeah. Kick it high, kick it out of bounds, do, you know, whatever. I agree. I'm very happy with 35 yard punts that get fair caught. I don't seriously.
You have to,
like, I don't, yep. if you're at your own 40, or if you're at your own 30 and they get it at their 35 with decent field possession, whatever.
Yeah. Give them one first down by punting it higher than you need to.
Whatever.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yep.
Okay. We need to keep this baby moving. They're really good at the linebacker position defensively. Riley Wilson, Braxton Hill, Levi Janicaro, and they're kind of big there. Old school. 225, 235. You know, does NDSU's been killing Montana State and USD on the edge run. We talked about that in yesterday's Inside the Numbers. The edge run is huge for the Bison right now. As much as people will criticize Roll and the offense for constantly running the ball up the middle, that hasn't been the case. Massive numbers against both Montana State and USD running outside the tight end. Whether it's Raja, whether it's Cole Payton, whoever's getting, even Tamarick. I mean, that 75 yarder was off tackle against Montana State. That's been huge. So do you get these big linebackers side to side, or do you try and mash it down their throats? I'm not 100% sure. The one thing that I want to talk about, and then we'll get to kind of our predictions, is defensively. Okay. You give up 20 to Butler, non-scholarship Butler. You give up 28 to Northern Arizona, 23 to UC Davis, 21 to Idaho. Then they crack Sac State and Montana State. That has to be recognized. But I struggle with, like, the Ferris State game even, right? How do you almost lose to a D2 team at home? And I mean, I get it. Like, I get that game happened a long time ago. But I look at that Butler result, and I look at that Ferris State result, look at some of their Big Sky results, and hey, doing what they did to Sac State and Montana State has to go into the equation as well. It does. They're capable of really putting on a very high level, performance. I believe that. But again, there's stuff on their schedule more than even NDSU. Although I will say at this point, that loss in Grand Forks is just embarrassing. I mean, truly, and kind of dumbfounding. So I guess that's on NDSU's resume as well. I didn't think they were that impressive with Furman. What has to happen for the Bison to win, Trev? I mean, what's your general take? What's got to happen? And then we'll pop into predictions.
I do think you have to wear out the linebackers. It goes to the point you're just talking about, because you got a guy, and here's the X factor, in my opinion. It's Riley Wilson.
Okay.
He's a transfer kid from Hawaii. And I think it probably took a little bit of time for him to get the wheels greased. Maybe a little bit longer than what Montana folks would probably have liked, but the kid's a bona fide stud. I think here's what I would like to see. I would love to see Oklahoma drill with Tamarick and Riley Wilson early on and try to get him wore out and then get him moving laterally as the game goes on. So for him to be neutralized in shoring up tackles, Riley Wilson, that is, I think is going to be massive in terms of getting to the second level and getting those 3 to 4 yards runs to turn into hopefully 7 and 8 and maybe a home run ball. 42, Riley Wilson has to be accounted for.
Totally, totally agree. Okay, I'll go first this time. You went first last time. I have got 38-31 Bison. Not in overtime, in regulation. This NDSU offense has been at just a ridiculous level. They're the number one scoring offense in the Valley. I think they get to 38, and I don't think Montana does.
31-24 buys, and the boys are rolling. They are way too hot right now. I will go out on a limb and say last Saturday or last weekend's games, they were the best team in the country.
And we'll hit the outro music a second time because that was poorly timed. Have a phenomenal weekend, everybody, and go Bison.